So we've got a team out there drilling as we speak. I'm also doing some work with the US government. We are, like many companies in the critical metals space, we're out knocking on doors in Washington, D.C., defense. So we're starting that process. And then we've also, Steve, taken a bit of an aggressive approach to this story in that we are starting to do some metallurgical testing on both the tungsten and the antimony that we have on our project. And we actually are going to take some of the material that has been stockpiled on site, and we're going to be producing an end product of antimony just to demonstrate the type of material that we can produce on our site. This year, with the drilling that we've been doing up at the north end of the Golden Gate target, we've hit scheelite mineralization in our drill core. We know that because we've identified it under ultraviolet lamps. So I think we're going to be, and that's near surface. So I think you've got at Golden Gate, I think you've got 2 to 3 million ounce gold potential with a tungsten deposit at the north end of that target.
Good day. We have a guest, Craig Lindsay, CEO of US Operations with Resolution Minerals. Craig, great to have you on our show.
Hi, Steve. It's fantastic to be here. Really appreciate you taking the time to visit with me.
Yeah, so I know you're in Vancouver. So what's that background, first of all?
We are in the middle of a drill program in Idaho at the Horse Heaven Project. So we're looking at a drill behind me at something we call the Golden Gate target.
Okay, well, Craig, before we get into that, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, your role there, and how you got involved, and what's your role now?
Sure. Background is in corporate finance and investment banking. I've been in junior mining markets in North America for the past 25 years. A lot of my work has been focused on the TSX Venture Exchange and the CSE, some stuff on Amex, but more recently, I was involved with a group that had acquired a private asset, about 14,500 acres in Idaho. That's gold, antimony, and tungsten. And we sold that to Resolution Minerals. That deal closed in June of 2025, and they were looking for someone to help them run the operation on the ground. So they retained me as the CEO of US Operations. And my role there is I put a geologic team together to run the project on the ground. So we've got a team out there drilling as we speak. I'm also doing some work with the US government. We are, like many companies in the critical metals space, we're out knocking on doors in Washington, D.C., defense. So we're starting that process. And then we've also, Steve, taken a bit of an aggressive approach to this story in that we are starting to do some metallurgical testing on both the tungsten and the antimony that we have on our project. We actually are going to take some of the material that we've has been stockpiled on site, and we're going to be producing an end product of antimony just to demonstrate the type of material that we can produce on our site.
Craig, my understanding of tungsten is it's second to diamond in terms of sturdiness. It's used significantly for American defense. For those of us who don't know much about that, or what else you have, you have gold. If you can tell us a little bit more about the significance of tungsten and what else you have.
Sure. Well, firstly, this project, we call it Horse Heaven, 14,500 acres. And the first thing I'd like to comment on is that we're immediately adjacent to Perpetua Resources' stibnite mine. And they're a little bit over $2 billion in market cap. And they've recently permitted this mine, and it's going to produce about 450,000 ounces of gold per year. And stibnite will also. They've got 145 million pounds of antimony. Then they were going to produce about 30, 35% of the United States antimony requirements in the first 4 years of production. So our geology at Horse Heaven is directly comparable to the geology that they've got at Stibnite. We're just at an earlier stage. So we've got gold. We're drilling at Golden Gate. That's about a 3 kilometer strike length of gold that's in soils and rock samples from one end of Golden Gate to the other. It's about a 1/2 kilometer wide. There's been a historic resource drilled on the project of about 270,000 ounces of gold. So we've got a big gold endowment that we're trying to drill out there. Secondly, very importantly, the project did produce tungsten historically at the Golden Gate target. It was small scale. It was originally processed at the old Stibnite mine. And when the Stibnite mine closed in 1952, they actually built a tungsten mill at the bottom of the hill. We call it the Johnson Creek Mill. That processed tungsten up till about 1980. And then in World War I and World War II, the US government actually produced antimony at the Horsehaven project. So we've got those three metals. All of them are considered critical metals to the United States. And yes, both tungsten and antimony are used in munitions. It's a defense industry product that's in very limited supply in the United States. Tungsten is a steel hardener. Antimony is used in primers for munitions. It's also a flame retardant. It's got a number of different applications from a defense perspective. And the United States produces no antimony currently. The Chinese have cut off their supply of antimony to the United States, which has created a critical supply issue for the United States government. So there is a big push on to develop domestic supplies of these critical metals, antimony being one of them, and tungsten also being a very important one. And we've got both of those. So that is really our story. It's critical metals with a big kind of gold story in the background. And you layer on the fact that this is a critical metal to the United States, both tungsten and antimony, and you're in a price environment where gold is at $3,800 an ounce, and tungsten is the both tungsten and antimony are in short supply. So the pricing environment for these commodities is very attractive. And then from an antimony perspective, we've got some spectacular grades. We put out news a couple of weeks ago where one of our samples ran like 49% antimony, 1,420 grams per ton silver, and over 3 grams per ton gold. So we've got, we're onto something pretty interesting. And with the right amount of capital, we'll be able to aggressively push this project forward.
Craig, you mentioned some comps and peers with some companies nearby, and you said you were just a little bit ahead, or just a little bit, on the earlier stages of the development. Where are you in terms of that timeline? Like, what can investors expect moving forward for the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months?
Well, over the next 3 to 6 months, they're going to see results coming out on 20 holes that we're drilling, combination of both core and RC holes. And I think that's going to be a significant result in potentially a significant revaluation of the company. We're trading around a $50 million market cap Australian right now. So that is going to be a significant driver of value. Secondly, we are taking this aggressive approach to moving both the antimony and tungsten story towards production-oriented story, and that we're taking some of the rock that we've got on site, and we're doing metallurgical testing of that material with the view to actually producing an end product that we can take to end users to see how well it would work in their systems. It's a lot of people would say, gosh, you're just in the process of You don't even have a 43-101 compliant resource estimate, but you're out doing some of this metallurgical testing. We feel that in this market, when the US is very interested in developing domestic supplies, you've got the Trump government putting in some loosening up permitting to allow you to move things forward a little bit more expediently from a permitting perspective, particularly for these critical metals, that we may be able to provide an earlier solution to this supply deficit that the United States has. And there are a lot of companies out there doing this, but we just raised 25 million Australian dollars couple of weeks ago to fund this project. So not only do we have a, what I consider to be a world-class project from an exploration and development perspective, we're right next door to this stibnite mine. The stibnite mines, they're spending over $2 billion developing it over the next couple of years. They're putting in power lines that are going to run right across our project. They're building new access roads in that are going to go right along the southern edge of our project. So we're adding some infrastructure to the project at no cost to us. We've got a lot of strong local support from the community of Yellow Pine, which is the nearest town to our project. So we've got a lot of positive things going for us. And it's yeah, it's an exciting time for this company. From a U.S. Investor perspective, we are listed on the OTC QB market.
Okay.
We're actually have plans to uplist to NASDAQ. Don't have any timing on that, but we've retained Roth Capital to assist us in that project. Right now, for your listeners, we are actually listed on the Australian Stock Exchange. And it's quite interesting. The ASX market, for your listeners who are not aware, they love junior mining stories. The liquidity is excellent. We did just raise $25 million from a very strong group of investors. So there is good support for this project in Australia. But capital markets, as you know, in the United States are far deeper than they are in Australia. And we've got a project in the US that's got some significant kind of critical interest from a US government perspective. So it's a logical step for us to tell our story to US investors and help grow that investor base in advance of NASDAQ listing.
So could you tell us a little bit more about the share structure and the major companies, institutions, and insiders involved and how much stake they have?
Yeah, well, the group that sold the asset to Resolution holds about a it's high net worth group of investors who probably own about pre the $25 million finance, 40% of the company. We brought in some Australian institutions into the story and in the financing, as well as, a lot of this is retail money coming into the story from an Australian perspective. We've got, as I said, about a $55 million market cap right now from an Australian perspective. We don't trade heavily in the US on the OTC QB market, but we do want to start introducing it to the US market. I think these stories, typically from a US institutional perspective, it's a little bit too early, but we are starting to get some incoming interest from the US institutional community, largely because they're heavily exposed to the Perpetua story next door. So I think people are starting to hear about this. They're invested in a $2 billion plus market cap company. And I'm talking US dollars. So we're starting to get that kind of interest.
So, Craig, you are primarily over the Horsehaven project. Is that
Horse
correct? And
Heaven.
then
Yeah.
Horsehaven. And sorry, Horsehaven. That's my accent coming out. And then if you can tell us, are you able to tell us a bit about the Drake East and the George Project and what else is involved?
Yeah, so those are projects that are in Australia. They're antimony and they're gold projects. They're earlier stage, and these projects are actually have some interesting geologic potential to them, but the company has made a geographic shift to the United States. We will be doing moving those projects forward in Australia, but the large majority of our capital is being invested in Idaho in the United States.
Gotcha. All right. So in terms of company here, so you have a lot of tungsten, antimony, and gold in the US and Idaho. You got gold and antimony in the other in Australia.
Yeah.
And so is this primarily a gold play, a tungsten play, or antimony play? I mean, how do you kind of not spin it, but how do you pitch? What's the pitch? I mean, what's the deep value here?
This is a critical metals play. It's antimony and it's tungsten. That is what we are pitching. But the fallback of this story is a significant potential gold endowment. And that's the same story that Perpetua has. It's a gold project with an antimony kicker to it. So a lot of antimony is associated with gold deposits. And that's what we have. It's an intrusion-related gold system. There's a significant intrusion that comes up that sits right between the Stibnite mine that Perpetua operates and the Horse Heaven project. And that's really what's driven the mineralization at both projects. And they've got gold, tungsten, antimony over there. We've got the exact same thing. We're just on the west side of this intrusion. They're on the east side. They've got north south structures, a big shear zone called the Meadow Creek shear zone that runs north-south to the east side of the intrusion. We've got something called the Johnson Creek fault shear zone that runs on the west side of this thing. So it's the same system, the same plumbing, the same rocks. It's the same geologic model. They've just got 4.5 million ounces of gold, and we're at the very early stages. So we're playing catch up. I like to call it Stibnite 2.0.
Well, if you've got even close to what Perpetua has, I mean, what kind of value are we talking about here? Can you paint the picture in terms of upside? And then secondly, with that, do you see any risk that, hey, we thought they were similar, but, you know, like we might not have what we think we have?
It's a good question. So let me paint a picture for you. I think at Golden Gate, where we're drilling right now, that's 3 kilometers long. It's a half kilometer wide, and historic drilling has demonstrated there's gold along the entire length of that 3 kilometers. I see 2 to 3 million ounce gold potential at the Golden Gate target alone. This year, with the drilling that we've been doing up at the north end of the Golden Gate target, we've hit scheelite mineralization in our drill core. We know that because we've identified it under ultraviolet lamps. So I think we're going to, and that's near surface. So I think you've got at Golden Gate, I think you've got 2 to 3 million ounce gold potential with a tungsten deposit at the north end of that target. And then you've got Antimony Ridge. We don't have a permit to drill at Antimony Ridge. We're filing one this fall. We'll see how long that takes to get it. So I don't want to do any arm waving on the antimony endowment at Antimony Ridge. However, you know, I'm where this thing was mined historically, the trenches, it was just open pit. And it was the trenches are 3,000 feet long, and they're on the side of a hill where there's 1,000 to 1,500 foot in elevation and 3,000 feet long. And we've had some of these very strong grades that I've just told you about. So I think the potential to have these bedded veins of high-grade mineralization of this antimony mineralization with drilling, I think you could see a significant antimony story that's at or near surface that could be mined potentially by open pit. So it's those two targets alone create what could be a very significant standalone story. And at a worst case scenario, it could be feeder mineralization to extend the life of what they've got over at Stibnite next door. So I should tell you, we've got 100% interest in our projects. So we're in good shape there. The other thing I would say from a permitting perspective, we are on Forest Service land. So we're in the Boise National Forest, which is a history of being kind of the most difficult land to permit on in the United States. But we've developed a really quite a good relationship with the Forest Service so far. So this first drill program that we just started August 1st, we've ticked all the boxes for the Forest Service. We were supposed to be off the hill September 30th, and we filed for an amendment to our plan of operation, and they've allowed us to extend drilling through the end of October into early November, depending on weather. And that's going to allow us to double the footage of drilling. So these are good things. The Forest Service has been, they're not a partner to us, they're our permitting authority, but we've developed, I think, a good working relationship with them, which will help for future rounds of permitting.
That's encouraging. Craig, anyone else who wants to follow your story, learn more about you guys, if you can share your ticker, your point of contact or website, that'd be amazing.
www.resolutionminerals.com is the website. We're on the ASX. RML is our symbol, and it's RLMLF on the OTC QB market in the United States.
We'll put that in the notes. Craig, thanks so much for your time and for sharing about your story. Look forward to learning more about it. Full disclosure, Craig has not paid for this interview, and we are not currently investors, but that may change soon after a compelling story. Craig, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your knowledge here. What you got going on here?
Thank you so much for having us on today. Really appreciate it.